Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
I don't know. Well, we're going to get to know each other now.
All right.
It's the Highway Diary Podcast. It's a little noisy. We're walking around downtown Chinatown in Los Angeles with my man Jake Kroger.
Hello, everybody.
This guy, I got to know just on the internet, because you are the proprietor of a comedy bureau, the Comedy Bureau.
That's correct.
Tell me about this. How did this get started?
This got started, I was doing comedy a few years ago, and there wasn't a reliable list of open mics.
Mm-hmm.
While I live in L.A. County, I don't live in the city of Los Angeles. And I would always drive a long time till I get to Hollywood or whatever. And according to the listings that were available at the time. And I just, I'd find out that those mics have been canceled for like a year.
Yeah.
You know, or two.
And then it's like, oh, this was my fucking Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's like 8:30, 9 o'clock by that point. Can't go up anywhere else and... You know, it's shot, so I just wanted to...
What year was this about?
Oh, I mean, this was...
Established.
October 25th, 2010 was when mm-hmm. I started the Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been going on every day for 2.5 years.
And I've I've been going around the open mic circuit. Definitely the most reliable, you know.
Right.
Bad Slava doesn't always have it down, you know.
Well, I mean, not to tarnish... a competitor in a way. I guess that's what I'm about to do, but
sounds like it,
right? Well, no, the Slava doesn't live here. One, the proprietor,
Russians. It sounded Russian, right?
It sounded Russian. He was in New York. He also charges for some listings.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people that are listed on there, I guess, if you want to be featured more prominently, you have to pay something
right.
every month. And also, it's like, it doesn't account for holidays or anything like that.
It's just every Saturday this happens.
Yeah, or every, you know, I remember when I had my, I used to host an open mic downtown in Little Tokyo. And it took a while for that to get off. Because, you know, it's like, he has a few people here that kind of update it every once in a while, but I do my best to make sure that nobody who's like looking for open mics waste their time.
Yeah, you gotta constantly update it with new information.
Yeah, because it's just like an awful feeling, like spending all this time trying to find a mic, and then you're like, it's not even happening.
And let's face it, open mic comedians are broke, and gas is expensive, so
that's real
shit.
But that's only one facet of the site, because after I started finding all these open mics, I started going to all these shows that weren't at, like, traditional clubs and theaters, and they were all great, and it's like shows that were in dive bars to anything like a garage, a rooftop, a dance studio, mm-hmm. a video store, a basement, whatever. And they were all awesome, and no one was really writing about that. Like, the LA Weekly, they would write something about Eddie Izzard doing the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows about that.
You know, it's under the radar.
It's not like he has a press team, and, you know, the Hollywood Bowl is just a small, intimate venue. And
right.
So I just started like writing about all this stuff because it was kind of a shame that no one was writing about it. It just kind of spiraled from there.
So you're a frequent contributor to Nerdist. Yeah. Nerdist is one of those brands that is just blowing up in the LA comedy scene, particularly with Chris Hardwick and all that stuff.
I would say even beyond the LA comedy scene.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's.
Now, I mean, like, Chris Hardwick hosts 4 television shows now.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention, like, he is, like, moderates so many nerdy panels. And,
He really used G4 to lift himself into.
Yeah, but there's G4. I mean, he does Course of the Force. Like, now Nerdist is partnered with Legendary, Pictures. And they, like, produce original content on their YouTube channel, have that family of podcasts that are so big. And it's firing on all cylinders, like, globally. Like, Chris himself as a stand-up and the Nerdist podcast can tour across the country and overseas as well as sometimes without a problem, man.
Yeah. It's unbelievable how, like, getting good at key searches and having a successful comedy collective can really make you global immediately with the internet. Hashtag Nerdist.
I mean, it's like magical. I mean, it's, people want to replicate it so much.
So what exactly do you do now? You were saying
I am a contributor to Nerdist.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a bunch of posts. One of the main things I do on a weekly basis is the 5 most intentionally funny videos, which is kind of this feature they have on the site where I pick 5 videos that aren't cats or people getting hit in the balls.
Yeah.
You know, because there are a lot of people that make sketches and funny videos that try harder than that to, like, make something funny, and they should get recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of that sifting process where I pick that.
You want to check this place out?
Sure.
See if they'll be cool. They have a lot of chicken buns.
Right. This always gets me, the hot dog.
Hot dog in the bun?
Yeah, no, that's like so many cultures meeting in one. Can I get the red bean bread? Just that. One of those.
Are you getting yours microwaved, bro?
yes.
That's taking it up the next. Let's make it into a Hot Pocket.
You got the vegetarian bun option.
Sure, even though I'm not a vegetarian by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm just getting straight pork buns, bro.
Picky about.
Do you get foodie? Do you get really, like, picky with your food?
Not foodie. It just, like, to every type of cuisine that I go to, I just know what I like.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I usually just go for that. Well, I don't know what I would order. Whatever, like, cooked beef in the Russian, at a Russian restaurant would be, as opposed to their raw.
So just anything boiled if it's Russian?
Usually, every culture has some type of dish where they have cooked meat in some type of reddish sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually okay.
And then you're like, I'll be able to palate that stuff.
Yeah.
The green, speckly-looking mountain over there, I'm not getting near.
No.
Tell me about the This Better Be Funny podcast.
Oh, dude, oh, are we done with the whole Nerdist and Stamp thing? I still do stand-up like 4 to 6 times a week.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I just love doing it. It'd actually be more beneficial if I stopped doing it. And there are good friends of mine that say I'm way better at guitar. Which sucks, because it's kind of true. But I don't get as much kick out of playing guitar as I do comedy. Anyways, This Better Be Funny podcast is a podcast I started over a year ago. While, yes, it is comedians talking, we try to capture the process of comedy. You know, I think a lot of times through documentaries and various behind-the-scenes things and other podcasts, people suggest the process of how comedic material, whether it be jokes, sketches, and whatnot, are come up with, but they don't actually show the process. Honestly, it's like, a lot of times it's just like really open-ended conversation between other comedians out in public. Like, it's not at their house, it's not like you get coffee. And this was predates Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars and Getting Coffee, but it's almost the same concept. Except it's like the Brooke version. We don't all have like the premier 74 Porsche and
that I can put stick GoPros on.
Yeah. And like, oh no, we're gonna have coffee close to where you live. Like, I'm not picking you up at your place, driving to Newport Beach and driving you back. We're not playing that.
That's kind of what we did here. I looked at a Google map and I decided, oh, this is exactly in between, so we'll both drive equal distances to get to Chinatown.
Right.
And I thought, it's a good place to record a podcast.
Right. Absolutely. Thank you. We are trying a little bit of an experiment as of just this past week where
Jeremy has a lot of interesting stories growing up in projects. Peoria, Illinois, and, you know, being an orgy enthusiast. Things I'm very not well acquainted
with. So your co-host Jeremy from the This Better Be Funny podcast is into orgies. Does he dress up? Does he, you know, go as a furry ever? Or
no,
is he always just straight as himself?
He just brings his very big dick.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he likes to advertise quite a lot. Like, don't give him your phone number so easily. Because he has this, like, saved picture of his dick. Mm-hmm. He just texts to people. It's pretty awful.
Every time he gets a new phone number and saying, he's like, oh,
welcome
to my phone number.
But every time he gets a phone number and knows it's your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But, so we're kind of doing what I best can describe as a despicable story off. Because Jeremy's such, like, kind of a great person for how, like, so, like, devious some of the things he's done, but, like, I don't know, kind of a great way. We have our guests tell the most embarrassing, like, shocking, despicable story that they're willing to admit to, and then from four slips of paper, they pick the story that Jeremy will tell, and then I decide, as somebody who's, like, sheltered and very straight edge, I drink coffee. I mean, I drink alcohol and coffee, but I've never taken any drugs whatsoever. But I decide which story is more despicable. And if the guest wins, they get a cassette tape of their choice, because that's what we have available. And so, yeah, we're trying that for a few weeks and seeing how that goes.
Spice
things up.
Yeah, you always want to add different features, you know. I got some news stories here.
Yeah?
So, what do you think about the NSA? Notice how I made it into three sentences, because I'm way too stupid to, like, have a whole article.
Yeah, I'm just not going to read your notes.
So, the NSA and the CIA have been targeting drone strikes with cell phones. So, you know, if you have a cell phone, right, and you are on the grid and you're a terrorist and they want to kill you, or you're just an American who knows too much,
right,
drone strike. That's their technology now.
Yeah. I will say,
what do you think? Are you scared of the man? Do you like being on the grid, using credit cards, you know, they can track you?
Unfortunately, so my dad is a retired U.S. Army officer. He retired basically as a lieutenant colonel. And from what I've learned, him being in the Army, and, like, going from being an enlisted person to, like, commanding a battalion of tanks, guarding the Berlin Wall, stuff like that, is that if the U.S. government wants to do something, they can pretty much do it.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, like, what knowledge is public versus what is classified, especially when it comes to technology and weapons, like, the fact that this is what we know is, like, it should be even scarier, because what we don't know, what's classified, what they, if they really want to hunt somebody down, they have something, like, 10 times more scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they probably have a drone that has opposable thumbs. They can, like, just fly into your, like, and unlock your door. And remember when Wolf Blitzer was in the streets in the Middle East and, like, a missile flight? Like, it could fly through your house and just kill you specifically without damaging any other part of the house.
They're probably 5 years away from giving, like, your parent, like, your mom, like, a powder that she drinks, and then a robot mom comes out with a remote control by the man, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your mom's a robot mom, and you didn't even know that she switched, but she drank a powder that turned her into a robot connected to satellites remotely controlled by the CIA.
I'm, like, so not surprised by any of this. I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate. But, you know, there are cases on their side that can be made. Like, yeah, they do capture criminals or, like, threats to the state.
I think they just make up threats to the state to justify their existence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such a gray area. And the problem, I think, is while they want all our information, they don't want to share what they're doing with it. You know,
yeah,
is the big problem. Like, so they want everything from us, but they don't want to give us anything.
So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
But what are you worried about, man?
I don't know.
No. I mean, like, if you're not a terrorist and you're not a drug dealer, not a serial killer, like, what are you?
Do worried? I like that the government can look through the monitor of everyone's iPod,
right.
iMac? All across the country, and just like
yeah, that is
just beat off to them beating off, you know.
Yeah, it is disturbing, but also I mean, this is a little bit of me playing devil's advocate. Like, do you have anything to worry about?
I guess not.
Yeah,
but it's just weird to watch the wheels turn around.
No, it is.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here watching the wheels go round and round.
I said the street.
Okay. That was a pretty good red bean bun. Thank you very much, Dan.
You know, sometimes you want to stop and get a bun.
Thank you. All right.
Everything.
There's no dragon on the gate.
There's a Best Western Dragon Gate Inn, and on the gate there is no dragon.
They have a lovely, like, kind of columns to let you in, and one of those classic roofs on it,
yeah,
Chinatown roof, but no,
the
dragon.
The slanted roof, yeah.
Which, oh, don't say slanted.
Why? Oh, see, this is the thing I get pissed
Slitty
off about.
Slitty roof?
No, PCP, like, you're trying to guilt me racially on somebody else's behalf? Like, that doesn't personally offend you at all.
No, I hate all that political correctness shit. I got busted so many times at in New York when I went to a new school university. Mm-hmm. I like, here, you know what? I kind of want to climb this up and look at what this is, even though this thing is closed. Is this a stadium?
It's a school.
Oh, this
it
is
says
school?
Before visiting classrooms or in school grounds.
Oh, wow. I'm just looking what Chinatown High School looks like. Yeah, oh, no, it's not.
Two grown dudes looking at high school. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, it's an elementary school at that. There's a trolley car.
All right, so let's get out of here.
That's sad.
I just like exploring. Go on.
No, it, like, you can't be a guy around a single
adult
guy ever. It's always going to be suspicious.
Because we know how filthy our minds are.
No,
we know how we're just complete pigs.
All right. You get in that camp. I was just going to say 5% of the population are that fucked up in the head and ruined it for everyone else.
It's true.
I mean, if you want to join me on this side, you can.
Also, like, there was an issue. There's this maternity ward where, like, men weren't allowed in past 10 p.m. because these dudes were just going in and just raping pregnant chicks all passed out or about to give birth in a maternity ward.
Fuck, man.
And then it's like, that's why we can't just, like, look at a Chinatown school without looking like creepos. Just why? Because it's 4 p.m. and we got nothing to do but to look at a school? Big deal.
Yeah, but no, that's the assumption just based off a small percentage of the population.
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck? What the fuck, dude? No, I mean, like, I don't understand why that would ever happen. Like, I believe that nobody ever thinks they're truly the bad guy. Like, some people may think, like what they are doing is fucked up, but they always rationalize it in a way where, like, yeah, this is what it is, and this is my life, and this is how I'm going to do things.
Yeah.
Even if it's a rapist. Like, yeah. But I don't understand. You have to come up with such a convoluted logic to, like, get to that point where you're like, yep, gonna rape somebody.
My friend, like, Jeremy, he's, like, getting all the bitches, and, like, he's stacking numbers. I can't keep it. So maybe I gotta take a few. I'm a rapist. I'm trying to make a likable rapist character.
There's no such thing.
What's
there's
up?
There's no such thing.
I'm Sean. I'm a likable rapist.
See?
What's going on?
It can only...
How are you doing?
A likable...
No, how is your day?
How is my day? It's weird. It's really weird.
What's up? I'm Sean, the likable rapist.
Oh,
why
yeah.
doesn't that character work?
Every rapist is not likable. it's like, by definition,
yeah,
they're an awful, shitty person. But there is no such thing as a correct motivation in our minds that we've come up with that's, like, good for rape.
What if Dick Cheney just wants, like, a Christmas baby? Uh-huh. You know what I mean?
In East Berlin, at the mother, what they call the Mother Church, which is the headquarters for the Church of Satan, about once a year. They also have another meeting place over here in the United States, which is the Kimberly Castle.
They're in Sedalia, Colorado, correct?
Correct. And most of the time they do a lot of business meetings over in East Berlin, but over in the Kimberly Castle, they do a lot of rituals, so-called, you know, parties are really rituals. It's been known for quite some time that the Bush family is generational Satanists. Now, and generational Satanists are right down the bloodline. It goes way back into their bloodline.
And I just don't, like, I've been trying to figure out where I stand on the issue, because there's good cases to be made on both sides. Like, I think there's something
for and against rape.
No, for and
it's
against...
It's a complex.
For and
it's
against...
Complex.
For and against... Now you're changing what I was saying. For and against whether rape is worse than murder.
Right.
It just goes back and forth. Do you have any thoughts on the issue?
Let's just...
you know what? This is getting a little...
I'm a little done with rape pontification.
Oh, okay.
Let's check out the next news story. Allentown woman found passed out in her car... Two children were backseat, and she was passed out next to a can of Ultra Duster. So she was huffing that stuff that dusts your computer.
Incidentally?
It's like, yeah. I just find this so interesting that, you know, we live in a modern world. There's so many products. Okay, now we have computers. Okay, so there's also this stuff called aerosol spray that you can spray to dust off your computers. Right. One woman just can't get enough of this one thing, just gets trapped on that one thing. And then she's passed out in her car with two kids in the backseat. You know what I mean?
Right. What happened to her?
Charged with a bunch of stuff.
What's the history of this woman? Does she have a history of child negligence?
It's a very short thing. I just...
No, I mean, that punishment at first glance seems a little harsh.
She's been sentenced to 16 months in prison.
Yeah, it seems a little... Like, were the children harmed at all? Or, like...
Probably a little dehydrated from being in a hot car. Hey, let's hang out here for a sec.
Well, yeah, it's a Bruce Lee statue, so...
It is.
You weren't racist and like, that's an Asian person in a martial art.
Well, that's just redundant to say.
Right.
That Asians were in a martial arts uniforms.
You know, there are a lot of, lazy Asians. It was actually, like, a really great experience going to, like, high school and meeting all these, like, stoner, shitty people that just happen to be Korean.
Yeah.
They were like couldn't be bigger losers if they tried. You know?
You went to high school with?
Yeah, man. They all like wore
They were breaking the stereotype.
Oh yeah, man. They were breaking the stereotype by wearing like N1 jerseys,
mm-hmm.
like fucking getting thrown in detention for bringing pot to school.
Mm-hmm.
And like they wanted so desperately to like be black. So there is this like new weird sub accent.
Yeah.
Where it's like an Asian, like a second generation or third generation Asian person trying to talk like a black person.
I feel like living in Los Angeles has changed my accent just from being on the East Coast.
What do you think that change was? Like, what was your accent on the East Coast and what did it change to?
I don't know. I think I just hit certain vowels a little softer, more of a. Because, like, the LA accent is like...
Like the surfers at Huntington Beach? Is that what you're trying to bring
coming
up?
Coming on the Ocho. What's up, bruh? Like that kind of thing. But that in subtler ways happens throughout Los Angeles, you know?
Nobody talks like that here. I actually like to think of the accent of Los Angeles as a result of so many people moving here and being displaced.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have one.
Displaced accents.
Yeah, no. Just a lot of people
We've lost it.
No, and the fact that so many people are in entertainment and they try to lose their accent, you know, it just kind of becomes this generic, not monotone, but...
Like Mel Gibson in
Ransom. No, it just, like, it's kind of a generic accent. Like, there's nothing really distinguishing about it.
Everybody knows what Hollywood skunks. Salt the safe and Vulcan monks.
Horse rider fined for taking pony into McDonald's after being refused drive-thru service. So a female horse rider was refused service at drive-thru, and then she was like, well, I'm fucking driving this horse. Uh-huh. And they're like, no. And then she went in with the horse, and then the horse shat on the inside of the McDonald's. Uh-huh. Now the McDonald's employees have to deal with horse shit.
Right.
But I agree, because I, you know, used to be a punk teenager, and I would be like, right. Me and my friends would all walk, pantomime car gag,
right.
And they would never give us food.
Right.
And but I mean, come on, now a horse, mm-hmm. I don't know, I think they should give it out, what do you think, you know?
It served the horse? Serve the person on the horse?
I think it would serve McDonald's to open their drive-through lanes to horse service.
If it doesn't violate that height regulation that they have on the drive-thrus for big rigs, that's fine by me. But I would also say that if that...
That is a very expert opinion. Big rig height regulation. What do you mean?
No, if you go through a drive-thru, most drive-thrus in America have, like, a maximum height.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shingle of the roof...
Yes.
The overhang of it is only so high, and there are trucks that you can't drive through there
mm-hmm.
with.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's too tight an angle for most big rigs.
Right.
So,
a windy little drive-thru.
Right. But if, you know, you being on a horse doesn't violate that at all, I don't see the problem. However, I would say if it shits in the drive-thru, you should clean it up. At least, like, put it in the plants so they knew that, like, going into that situation, that person knew, okay, this isn't normal.
There's a chance that I might not get sick.
There's a chance. But you know what? Fuck it. I'm on a horse. Like, that's their attitude about it. You can't just do that and expect everyone to, like, go on with their day.
Because big rigs can't go. You know, there's some... I wonder about motorcycles, though. Would they serve a motorcycle?
Where would you put your food?
I don't get why they're turning down business.
Where would you...
It's money for hamburgers. I don't get...
It's just one person. You can get away. You're McDonald's. You can get away with not serving a person today.
But, like, why are you turning away that customer? I don't get it.
I mean, why? I mean, like, are you this stemming from you being a punk kid and why?
You're trying to get a billion served.
Mm-hmm.
You go, not you.
Right.
How are you going to get, you know?
I just say serve the horse, but the person would have to clean up the shit if they shit and they drive through. Cause that's,
I agree.
That's private property.
Here's the other thing about horse shit. I always hike around Griffith Park, and there's one stretch of it where there's all these horse riders, and
right.
they're just like, dunkity-doo, I'm riding this horse.
Yeah.
And then the horse poos mid-walk, and they're just
right.
like, not my problem anymore. I'm going.
You want to know something more disgusting?
What?
I've heard of bikers biking through some of the more hilly, like, windy areas of L.A., like Bel Air. Or Malibu, or something like that. Or, like, around the valley. No, like, the nice parts of the valley, like the canyons and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
They just, like, ride, and they just, like, shit anywhere. They get off their bike, and they just take a shit.
Oh. I thought you meant, like, they, like, shat while they were cycling, like a horse. Just, you know, sometimes you just gotta... No,
like you're exerting so much like force in your muscles and your thought. Like,
no, like if you have a box cutter, just cut the back of your jeans open.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But you still have to like squeeze your sphincter to like release the feces.
You do it on a turn, so you get the centrifugal force as well.
Maybe. But I think that's marginal. But what I'm saying is like they just get off their bike and take a shit wherever.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
You got to be an expert and know what leaves to use to clean up, or do they have
No, they just try to, like do this thing where they, like, go and do it, and if they get caught, so be it.
Well, my name is Anthony LeVay, and I'm what they call the Black Pope's son. Anton LeVay was my father, and he was... the Pope, head of the Church of Satan in San Francisco. The council was putting pressure on him, so he castrated me.
They castrated you at the Kimball Castle.
Yes.
On the altar of Satan, and George Herbert Walker Bush was there, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. They all were.
The whole council of 13, including your father, Anton LeVay.
Oh, yeah. He's the one that did it, yes.
Okay.
This comes out of Reuters. The SEC charges the city of Miami with fraud.
Wait, is that the Security and Exchanges Commission or the Southeastern Conference of the
NCAA? Security Exchange Commission. Okay. They charged the whole city and its former budget director of fraud.
Okay.
Because they were making misleading...
being cool?
I
hate Miami so much.
But
that's not fair.
Why do you hate Miami?
I just hate the image of Miami that's been portrayed, that it's just like this gross party city that has nothing but like plastic surgery, cocaine, and short shorts.
But if you watch a movie, Cocaine Cowboys, like the city of Miami, all the buildings were built on coke money, like all their skyscrapers and stuff. Yeah. Their skyline is a coke skyline,
right?
And so, like,
and they're proud of that.
That's what I'm not sure they advertise it, but they're like, "Hey, come to Miami, you know, down here." They were given a cease and desist order in 2003, and in 2008, the financial director Bordeaux had moved a bunch of money. Detroit has recently gone bankrupt,
and they filed bankruptcy. Yeah,
and then like a day later, this comes out that the SEC charges the entire city of Miami with fraud. That's not a news story you hear a lot.
No, it's not a news story you hear a lot.
The dominoes are starting to fall.
No. I mean, like, it's all a matter of perspective. Like, do you understand, like, I looked this up like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
According to the CIA World Factbook, like, something like 1.8 people die per second. You know that?
1.8 people die per second.
Yeah, somebody died right now. And now. And now. And now, and like you know, people are getting in a big huff over the Trayvon Martin case, and sure, it's awful what happened and the decision for Zimmerman. But know that the news and the media cherry picked that story. Stuff like that happens all the time, and even worse than that, you know, like if you read the police blotter of the New York Times, or the LA Times, or whatever they have in Florida, or you know, whatever paper. You'll hear about something awful, some like, you know, stray bullet kills like 2-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, that had nothing to do with it. Or, you know, like so many awful things happening all the time.
How many times did you see George Bush at the Kemble Castle doing these rituals? George Bush Jr.
I've only seen him once.
Just one time at the Kemble Castle doing human sacrifices. Rituals.
Yeah.
Can I talk about the sticky bum place for a while?
Sure.
How many employees were at the Sticky Bun place?
I think about 3 or 4.
Yeah. And then all the items on their menu are like 79 cents.
Yeah.
How are they turning a profit there? 3 or 4 employees. We were there, and we spent under $5 on 3 sticky buns and 2 sodas.
If their cost is only like 5 or 10 cents, you know, maybe they're still making a profit.
You think we got robbed at the Sticky Bun place?
We've been robbed all day, Eric. What are you talking about, man?
I got ice cream.
There's
an ice cream man. You know, with gas so expensive, he drove up to me, and he was like idling for 20 minutes because I ordered like a vanilla thing with Oreos on it.
Right.
He's like making this thing for 20 minutes, and then it's huge, and then he goes $2, please.
Right.
And I'm like, You fucking burnt $10 of gas idling making this thing. What is going on here?
Well, maybe he's
selling heroin out the back.
Well, maybe he's making it up for the other, you know,
it's all tax deductible.
Not tax deductible, but maybe there's something.
Refrigeration and the.
Right.
I'm just thinking the gas.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not a profitable industry, man. You don't hear.
You don't go into it for the cash?
You know, I mean, yeah, maybe not. But, like. You don't hear stories about, like, in Forbes or, like, the Wall Street Journal about, like, people in ice cream trucks, like, just killing it, you know?
But I always think, like, when I see something like that and I see, like, how can that make a money? I'm always thinking, look, Miami was built on cocaine. So how is this, like, this is just a money laundering system. Someone is, like, selling something, and then they're like, look, we're just really selling these Frosties. It's real hot outside in L.A.,
right.
And we are just, you know, we're making hundreds of thousands of dollars a week
right.
selling ice cream.
Right. do have a soft spot for contemporary art museums for two reasons. One, they're very entertaining in that, like, something, like, you call that art? You really call that art? That's,
yeah.
And then
it's
every,
like a video of a dog, like, not getting a ball for 20 minutes
right.
on loop. And it's
or
like,
it's just a blank, what? It's a blank white canvas that wasn't even painted. And then the caption says something like, oh, the artist wanted to give the suggestion that there was a painting, but it's an illusion that there's not, but there is. Because it's hung up in a gallery.
It's like, this is blank because you're lazy, whatever. And you're just, and no, the caption is written by a bullshit artist who's conned the MoMA into putting up a fucking, and spending 10 grand on a blank canvas.
Yeah.
Some idiot read fucking some philosopher that makes no sense in the modern age.
But,
and now there's a blank canvas.
But there's usually there's a few pieces like sifting through all that garbage that you're like, oh man, this resonates with me so much. It's so great. So I do actually enjoy going to contemporary art museums, but like for all the like farm museums, like Renaissance costume museums, turquoise, like I don't care anymore.
See, for me, like as comedians, it's like, oh, you tell jokes, you get laughs. There is that is the fucking result, and there's no harder crucible to come out of than comedy. And with
is there
with it's the hardest shit ever. And so when you're like, oh, I'm a no, if you don't understand my modern art, then you're probably too stupid, you know? Like, if right. you don't get it, then I think it's all Emperor's New Clothes, it's all bullshit, and they're just like, you know, who can write the quirkiest blurb to make fucking liberal, like, rich people go, oh my god, that's so great, you know? It's all just PR and...
I would say, okay, it's mostly Emperor's New Clothes. I would say it's mostly that. But in some of those cases... Emperor's New Clothes looks really cool. Like, he's not naked. He's almost naked, but he's just, like, it's, like, softly painted, and you can't see anything.
Don't get me wrong. There's some gems
there. It's pretty awesome.
Like, as long as there's, like, real craftsmanship that went into it and something looks really cool, then it's, like, then it's interesting. But that blank canvas, it's, like, and also, I don't know. That,
no, it's bullshit. I hate that. And I've heard people try to justify for so many reasons why that's so great, but
It's just proof.
Just like,
of...
all right. So there's this thing at LACMA now. It's called levitated mass. It's just a couple dozen tons. But if they levitated it between buildings at LACMA, that would have been cool. But they basically spent millions of dollars moving this rock from a quarry in Riverside and blocking traffic over 2 days to bring it to the Miracle Mile at where LACMA is. And it's just a big, dumb rock. They didn't, like, sculpt
that's
it or anything.
Just art people. Like, as it's going through the highway, the art people are like, we want them rock.
No.
We want them rock.
No, they're just like, oh, look
at it. Dragging through hot traffic.
Like,
we want it. Bring it to me.
Hey, is this the thing? There are a bunch of people here. Is this
exactly,
the thing?
Exactly.
No, but here's the explanation that the LACMA museum director gave. He was like... back in the times of Egypt, they used monoliths to signify the centers of cultural significance within an area, like pyramids and various monuments like that. And we feel that this levitated mass will accomplish the same purpose for Los Angeles, because we believe LACMA is a place of cultural significance, and we do need a monolith. And
We need a monolith.
Yeah, a monolith. Yeah, that's what they call
this
it.
This a thing? This a thing? I need a monolith? Bring us the rock.
It's just a big, dumb rock.
Move!
Right. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Los Angeles needs. A fucking, like, heart attack in the arteries of our highway systems. I just want to tell this story. You know, I had a repressed memory come back to me while I was driving here.
What?
It's like the most... embarrassing shit ever. So my sister was visiting me one time, and I was just trying to show her a video, like I was like trying to show her like something I had done, like a short film, a short comedy film, and my computer was hooked up to the TV to show it on a big screen, and my computer was so porn laden that if I just had opened Windows Media Player and clicked play at any time, it was like, oh well, you definitely want like this last stuff that you were looking at,
right?
So here, so like, and like four times like porn would flash up on the screen, and then my sister would pretend that she didn't quite see it because it was just too embarrassing to head on admit to and to talk about.
And it was like, oh, well, I'll eventually get this worked out. But right. And we never talked about it since, until I just brought it up now, until I was just on the highway going, oh, God.
Oh, funny enough, I did get busted, but for a porn that wasn't mine, because I don't watch porn. I don't.
What?
Yeah, I don't watch porn. I don't.
Porn that wasn't yours.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, officer. I just found this. And then he's like, 9/10 of the law is possession.
Right, sure. What happened was I have a good friend of mine, a very funny comedian named Sean Patton, who he was on this comedy game show that's hosted by a gay host.
Mm-hmm.
And as a joke, because most of the contestants are straight, the runner...
So you were caught with gay porn. It wasn't yours. I get it.
Yeah.
At this point in the interview, I have had enough. And apparently, so did the SD card. The SD card got full of Jake's BS about, he goes on to talk about how he was in a car accident and then he won gay porn at a game show and so he was caught with gay porn and he never watches porn and he's all pure, blah-de, blah-de, blah. But anyway, you could, he's doing all of comedy a great service. Check out thecomedybureau.com. Check out his contributions to Nerdist. Big deal. He likes a little gay porn, allegedly. He's not with the Bush family sacrificing any humans. Actually, he does stand-up. He'll be doing stand-up Thursday, August 1st, 2013, 7 p.m. at Flapper's Yoo-Hoo Room. I'll be doing stand-up tonight, July 30th, 10 p.m. in the main room. You can get $5 off tickets from the link in my website. A lot of writers on Conan are performing that night, so it's going to be fucking crazy. We're throwing it down on a Tuesday. Also, Friday, August 9th, I have a show at Eavesdropper Comedy Club. That's actually a place where I filmed a lot of Theater of the Deranged. So check out Theater of the Deranged, which will come out February 2014. Also, that's when a lot of Here Comes Godot is going to start hitting YouTube around February 2014. I recently want to announce that I signed a partnership with this company called Aux Mode. I'm going to put all these podcasts on YouTube. And, you know, Aux Mode's gonna help my shit go viral. Kenny Hotz is a co-founder of Aux Mode. Matt Stone's a board member of Aux Mode. So I'm really excited to announce that. And all that shit'll start happening. So that's another episode of Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Thanks to my guest, Jake Kroger. Just fucking with him. He's allegedly never watches gay porn. Okay? That was his story. Later!